First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to Spouting Off Thursday. I'm Karen Cataline. So good to have you along with us. And, you know, I say this all the time, but it is enormous what is going on out there. I want to cover a few things in this first segment. If you'd like to join us and spout off yourself, that's what we believe in around here. It isn't just the host that gets to spout off, everybody else does too. If you call in and you're listening to live, 603-816-1590. 1590 is the number of 1590 AM WSMN and, of course, 95.3 FM Nashua, New Hampshire, the live free or die state. Never has it been more important to recognize and understand liberty, what is liberty all about, what liberty is all about, and how our founders set up this country to protect individual liberty. My dear father, many years ago, when I asked him, you know, there's people running for president under the Communist Party. How do they allow that? He said, don't worry, that'll never happen in America. And communism could never take hold. And in fact, I don't know if he explained that, I was too young. He said, the reason that they're running under that party is because this is a free country. And ideas, no matter how abhorrent they are allowed in a free country, in a free society where people can decide what they believe. And it isn't outlawed to dissent from the policies of the government. And now we find ourselves, my dear old dad would not believe it because he would recognize that there are things going on in this country today that prove and show and are the implications for that very thing happening in the United States. The problem, of course, is that in order to effect socialism and communism, you must eventually employ force. You can promise the greatest utopians in the whole wide world. You can claim that you're a benevolent dictator and you're going to create peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Of course, they wouldn't use those words at all. And as you know, I'm not a Christian, but they wouldn't use those words, but they would say, oh, we're going to perfect America, perfect humanity, and we're going to create so much peace because we're smarter than you are and we know how to do it. If you just, you know, if we just redistribute wealth and we just outlaw people who disagree with us, that's the problem, is it's sold, this utopian ideology of socialism and communism, as you know, is sold with a velvet glove. But inside that velvet glove, always through history, we've seen it again and again, is an iron fist. Dissent is not allowed. Dissent is considered some kind of danger to, as we have now seen, our so-called betters have told us that if you dissent from the government, you are a threat to democracy, right? So now they've made thoughts a crime. They're trying to make dissent illegal when not very long ago we relish dissent. In fact, in science, which they claim to revere, and even in the Jewish religion, yeshiva students argue with one another in order to become clearer about the truth. Debate is absolutely essential for getting closer to the truth, accepting differences of opinion. We know that in our hearts and souls, but there are media and very, very powerful authoritarian strains in our government right now, pointing fingers at anybody who disagrees as a threat to, quote, democracy. I must call it, quote, because as you know, we are a republic. But the people that are the threat to liberty and democracy are those trying to make dissent illegal. How is it really possible? I used to wonder this years ago when I was a kid, years ago. How is it possible to try and direct people's thoughts and ideas and words? You know, I, like you, maybe I was blessed to be born in a country in which it was self-evident that your words, your thoughts, your ideas are your own. You cannot force people to agree with you. Utopian Marxists think you can by outlawing dissent. How's it possible to get away with making thoughts a crime? An idea is a crime? Really? Having an idea, you're not acting on it necessarily, but what they have wanted to do is to make violence speech, because, you know, burning down a Wendy's is free speech. We cannot stop them from burning down a Wendy's. We're going to tell police to stand down and not stop violence and arson and, you know, rioting. That's okay. But if you think something that we don't agree with, you're a threat to democracy. It's no secret that people who still love this country, who still love liberty, just basic liberty, are scared that their government has somehow turned against them, has turned their sights onto more than half the population as being a threat to them. Now, that's a pretty heady thing, right? What is the logic of labeling speech a threat to democracy if you don't mean to put dissent down as somehow illegal? And that is why the First Amendment, with its five pillars, is the first of the Bill of Rights, the first in the Bill of Rights, because without freedom of thought, of speech, of ideas, people who think outside the box, with which liberals not very long ago revered thinking outside of the box, especially when they were in the minority. Thinking outside the box, you know, that's very, very important. So now they're saying, consider these implications, that if you question the honesty of elections, you're a threat to democracy. Now, never mind the fact that the logic of that is preposterous, right? Since when are you not allowed to doubt? Since when are you not allowed to trust? If you're thinking in your own heart and your own mind something's wrong with this election or that election, and you are now a threat to the government, well, we know, just like John Zemirak has told us on this program and others, anarcho-tyranny is when it's anarchy for me and tyranny for you. I get to do anything I want, including burn down Wendy's, and the government will bail me out, will even raise money for my for bail. But if my political enemies dissent, if they show that they disagree with this policy or that policy, they're a threat to democracy. So it's a very selective, non-equal justice kind of approach. We're going to go after our enemies with the power of government, and we're going to enable criminality and injustice whenever it suits us. I don't know. That's pretty much, I don't know. I might even call that a threat to our republic if people in power are supporting and encouraging criminality. Remember that when the Democrats have been questioning the results of elections, at least since Bush versus Gore, when people said, not my president, not my president, not my president. Remember, and I did not pull this sound to ask our esteemed producer to poll for me, but go to CNN, go to YouTube, go to any of those sites until they pull it down as being a threat to democracy. And look at what Stacey Abrams said of Georgia when she lost an election. Well, she said that it was a stolen election, that she had every right to win. And did anybody come to her home, raid her home, call her a terrorist for questioning the results of an election? No, of course they didn't, because Stacey Abrams is one of theirs. And she's running for governor again. Sherrod Brown said at the time on CNN, you can look it up, you can watch and listen to the audio, that if Stacey Abrams doesn't win, this was 3.5 years ago, if she doesn't win, it's a stolen election. He said it proactively. How about that? He said it proactively. So just be aware that those people who outlaw dissent, who want to punish dissent, they're the ones that are the threats to democracy, because you can't have a democracy or a republic without allowing dissenting opinions. Anything else would be authoritarian. Anything else would be a totalitarian government. That is where we are headed. Okay, I don't have much time to cover this, but there is good news, and it seems these days that unapologetic dissent is when we have cause to celebrate. So now we have Ron DeSantis, hated by the left. They will soon call him a Hitler and a tyrant and everything they've called Trump, the more effective he is. If the whole country are racists and everything else, then why single out Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? We're all racist anyway. Whenever you disagree, you're a racist. Anyway, Ron DeSantis gave them a little of their own medicine and sent about 500 illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard, apparently to the vice president's home, because she said, we have a secure border. We don't have a problem with illegal immigration. She knows that's not true. She's not the brightest bulb, but she knows that's true. That's just propaganda. That's all it is, propaganda. And yet, Ron DeSantis has had the guts and the courage, as has Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. Both of them, I'm not sure in Ron DeSantis' case, but Greg Abbott of Texas is up for re-election, so he's doing things that resemble Ron DeSantis, and he's sending illegal aliens on buses to so-called blue states. They really should be called red states. It was the media that named them blue states because they really should have been called red states, for communist red. And since they didn't want that orientation and they were pro-Democrat, they made sure Republican was red and Democrat was blue. But the Democrat hellhole cities that are full of trash and crime and out of control crime, the welfare state, drugs, you name it, every state the Democrats run all look the same. They look like a third world country. Those states, that's where they sent illegal aliens, because we know that Democrats in power are sending illegal aliens into Republican states, Republican controlled states, on purpose to change the politics of the state. Doesn't matter what color, it matters that they are sponsoring an invasion of our country. One of the few jobs the federal government has the responsibility to do, which is to secure our borders and keep citizens safe. And they are doing the exact opposite of that. Better start questioning what their true ideology is. Who do they see as the enemy here? The people who are not citizens, or the people who already are citizens and who think and who vote in elections? How about that? Looks like we have to go. I haven't heard the music yet, but I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Karen Cataline, You're listening to Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We are glad we got our little technical glitch fixed. We get that occasionally. I am so excited to have on, I've had the pleasure of having him on the air and also off the air. I've talked to him, president and CEO of Publius PR, editor-in-chief of Publius National Post, and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. And that's in the present tense. A.J. Rice joins us here on Spouting Off. What a pleasure to talk to you again. How are you, A.J.?
Karen, what's going on, girl? I really appreciate the fact that you know how to pronounce the name of our company. I really do. Because I think since the last time I talked to you, I think I've done 120 interviews. And you ought to hear the variations. So you're part of the 5% that nails it. And that's why you're a total pro.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I could wax philosophic about being in the 5% or the 2% of people who have the curse of awareness, but I don't always pronounce everything so great. You were kind enough to send me one of your books. I thought that was the coolest thing. You're probably in the 5% too. I'm going to just turn it over to you and let people hear why you decided to write this book. I'm especially struck by what it says. We're going on 3 years with this COVID virus destroys our culture. How come you wrote it in the present tense?
Well, there's actually two viruses, right? So there's a medical virus, medical tyranny, that whether it escaped the lab or it escaped Fauci's underwear drawer, I'm not sure. But as it spread, governments of the world got really, really comfortable with authoritarianism. And as your audience knows, and as you know, they captured us. They locked us down. And while they had us captured, a second virus, the Vogue virus, which is what I'm referring to in The Woking Dead, was slow pumped into us. And it had been around a while. I mean, it's basically, you know, political correctness married to the nanny state with, you know, a couple heavy doses of totalitarianism. And while we were all held in place and we couldn't go to prom and we couldn't, you know, go see grandmom, and we couldn't graduate from high school, which is just outrageous. And Karen, I had a secret wedding in the middle of COVID. Okay?
I kind of remember
I was
that.
Dealing with Governor Northam, Blackface Klansman, as we call him affectionately, the former governor of Virginia, who was posing in his yearbook either as a Klansman or in blackface, like he was Al Jolson, a jazz singer.
Right.
He locked this place down, then opened it up, then locked it down again. He had these phases in Virginia that he was doing. So I had to have a 50-person secret wedding, like it was something out of Shakespeare. It was crazy. Rent a property, get people to sign waivers. I had, you know, because I rented something that had a restaurant on site, I didn't have to worry about the caterers coming in and calling the brown shirts on me to come arrest us at their wedding. But this really happened. And I know we're going to laugh about it. We would laugh about it, what, 20 years from now? But it's still fresh in my mind.
Sure.
So my poor wife had basically planned two separate weddings, one in D.C. pre-COVID, and then one in secret in Virginia. Just crazy. So this is what they did. And while we were all sort of in stasis from the medical tyranny from China, they're hammering us. 1619 Project, cancel culture, you know, social justice warrior garbage,
gender ideology,
virtue signaling.
Pornography, right? on grade school
shows. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. And, you know, some of the craziness of the Woking Dead even predates COVID, in the sense that Black Lives Matter was around. They weren't popular with ESPN yet because they were too busy killing cops in Dallas. But the Me Too movement was here before COVID. Madonna standing out front of the White House saying she's going to blow it up. I don't see her house getting raided by the FBI. Mm-hmm. So, look, as soon as Trump showed up, COVID shows up, the patron saint of fentanyl, George Floyd, dies, and all hell breaks loose. So, I mean, that's where we're at. And while I was in the authoritarian spin cycle, I'm like, I got to start putting all this down. I mean, you and I know, because we've talked, you know, I was a columnist. So I collected some of the stuff that I was writing, and then I added to it, and I kept adding to it. And that's how we got The Woking Dead.
Well, and you mentioned your wedding. I'm glad you gave that personal side of things. But it broke my heart that it was merely a footnote that people who had dying relatives in hospice were not allowed to say goodbye.
Correct.
To mothers and fathers and grandmas. And I'm not even talking about you're killing grandma if you don't wear a mask, but we're going to go ahead and kill grandma to get our numbers up. These kinds of things were mere footnotes. And I may note that we're watching this astonishing amount of pomp and circumstance, calling a human being a queen, where they went to visit their relative. And so we have a kind of an elitism that has reared its ugly head with the kind of virus that you're talking about. I guess I'd like to drill deeper, because I know you've done so many interviews, is to talk about what it is, you think, that gets people to so willingly accept stuff that is that openly counter to America or to common sense or to common decency, to treat some people like they have rights and other people like they don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's drill down on why half of us submit and half of us don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, in 1776, it was not a majority that said to hell with George III. It wasn't. It eventually got there. But in the beginning, it wasn't. The loyalists were everywhere. And when they lost, they went and created a different country. The loyalists left the 13 colonies and then states, and they went and created something your audience knows today as Canada. We've seen some of this behavior in history. And it's interesting. I mean, it doesn't matter what tragedy you study, you will, or whether it's fiction or science or nonfiction, You know, the rebels are among us. They're listening to this show. And they're not going to submit. I mean, this whole thing, speaking of weddings, my wedding, I've been calling what they did here a sort of dress rehearsal of authoritarianism, because I think they're all watching to see how much we'll take. What's their threshold for pain? Some of us, not the 75 million Biden was talking about in Philadelphia, but some of us jump right up against the wall and yell fire to the firing squad. Not this host, not this guest, not this audience, but they're out there. You know, these are the people that scream the Jews are in the attic. So, I mean, we've always had them. I mean, people turned in Jesus Christ. So, you know, we just have to keep trying to educate and push back. From the human condition perspective, I don't know. It's weakness. It's rule followers. This country wasn't founded by rule followers.
Right.
This country was founded by a bunch of guys signing a piece of parchment committing treason. Rich guys. Oh, my God. Rich white guys. Oh, my God.
Oh,
rich
my
white
God.
Heterosexual Judeo-Christians. Oh, no. And you know what those, those rich white guys that signed the Declaration of Independence should be saying to these woking dad that are complaining about the patriarchy here? You're welcome. They should be saying, you're welcome. Look what we gave you. Look at what you're doing to it. I mean, even Queen Elizabeth, all these people, you know, the usual suspects screaming about the Queen of England. Oh, she pillaged the countries of brown and black people and this and that. And, you know, the usual suspects, The View, the nitwits on MSNBC. But in reality, the monarchy, England, the British Empire in general, they should say you're welcome, because they brought civilization with white privilege. Their white privilege brought civilization to places they would never have had it. They would all be still eating their, you know, their neighbor's intestines if it wasn't for Western civilization. I mean, she was really the last sort of, you know, icon left from the 20th century that was staunch anti-communist, fought the Nazis, and was a pillar, you know, sort of a symbol of Western civilization. Not many of them left. Isn't it interesting how the media 2 weeks ago was so upset and fawning over Gorbachev dying? Gorbachev. Who do you want? You want to go? Who do you want to ride with, ladies and gentlemen? You want to ride with Gorbachev, or you want to ride with, you know, Elizabeth Windsor? I'll ride with, and I'm Irish Catholic, so, you know, I've got my own opinions on the Anglican Church and what the hell, you know, has gone on in Ireland since 1917. But, you know, come on. Are we all in this Judeo-Christian Roman, Greco-Roman philosophy or not? We are. I mean, we've saved Western civilization. Yes, we've caused conflict. Yes. But we've saved Western civilization. We've saved the Earth multiple times. Not just against Nazis, but against an unhinged Imperial Japan and so on. So, look, this is the Woking Dead. They're after the Queen. They're after Karen and her audience. They're after Rice. They're trying to stop Rice from getting married. But we have to just keep fighting, you know.
Well,
there needs to be an insurrection of ideas to push back on these people.
I couldn't agree more, and I'll just jump to what we saw happen. Ron DeSantis sent a couple of busloads of illegal immigrants to Kamala Harris's house. That. We could talk about that specifically, but that spirit of giving them a little of their own medicine and illustrating the hypocrisy and the preposterousness of their position is what we all need to do. Tell us more about what you think could be done, because the pushback and the giving them some of their own medicine is about the only time we get any good news anymore, isn't it?
Well, this is the scariest part to the media and to academia, to the phony entertainment industry and the Democrat Party. This is what scares the hell out of them. This is why we're having J6 hearings and we're having speeches in my city in front of Independence Hall with the Marines.
Yeah, stopping people from running for office, having the right to run for office by smearing them with a fraud. Right.
Well, right.
I just had to throw that in.
But here's the thing that scares the hell out of these people.
Yeah.
Trump is not just Trump anymore. Trumpism, just like with Andrew Jackson, the Jacksonianism has spread. And it's taken people with linguine spines and turned them into steel spines. Okay? Because they remember what the left likes, guys. They like controlled opposition.
Right.
And DeSantis and Abbott and many of these guys, they're not going to be that. They're not wearing, you know, Mitt Romney's magical underwear. These guys are pushing back. You cannot control them. And, you know, Trump kind of, if he doesn't run again, if he doesn't win again, the one thing he will have left us with is the courage to really counterpunch the left. And that scares
them.
And
they like
genuflecting, genteel, you know, be a good, you're the sore loser, right? Be a happy loser.
No, be a zombie.
You know,
be a zombie. You know what, AJ? I'm so sorry. We have only a minute, and I want to give you that minute to tell everybody how they can find this exceptional book, The Woking Dead.
Look, the book was fun to write. It's even more fun to read. You know, you don't have to read it cover to cover. You can hop around. It was kind of set up like a music album. So there's 10 sections and there's like 97 track listings. You can jump here, there. You don't have to read it in order. Some of the stuff is humorous. Some of it's horrific. Some of it's both. But get yourself a copy, you know, go terrorize your liberal relatives at Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And
AJ
let's
Rice.
Send Nancy Pelosi and Chef Boyardee to Italy in November so she can be the ambassador.
He's so funny. AJ Rice. We had Drew Allen, your associate, just before, and you both sound similarly. We love you. Good luck. Continued good luck with the book. We got to run.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
I was asking God through prayer, seeking a good news source. I believe he showed me the Epoch Times. I deliver the mail and came across an issue. The front page intrigued me and I subscribed. Now I cut out articles and give them to friends and family. I leave old issues at the library and around my community. We read it to our kids and love the positive messages in each article. So why do I think everyone should read the Epoch Times? Because they're bringing back traditional values to this great country.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Heading out this morning into the sun.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. It's a Thursday, and it's the middle of September, and we got, what, 6 weeks till the midterms. Well, there isn't anybody better on the subjects that he speaks about. Every time I have him, I love having him, and we can't wait till the next time. His name is Jonathan W. Emord, and he is a constitutional law attorney, author of The Authoritarians, Their Assault on Individual Liberty, the Constitution, and Free Enterprise from the 19th Century to the Present. Welcome, Jonathan Emord, to Spouting Off once again. We love having you.
Well, thanks, Karen. That's so kind of you.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know you got a good guest and you've interviewed a good guest when personal friends talk to you and say, well, I was just listening to Jonathan Emord. I love him. Have you ever had him on your show? So you are really effective and courageous. I wish that the title of your book wasn't so true, but you're on a little bit to talk about George Soros, who is such an enigma and people simply don't understand. He's dumped $40 million into left-wing prosecutor candidates who basically want to let all the prisoners out of the jails. I mean, huh? Is this not an attack on law-abiding citizens? How is it not? Tell us more about this.
Well, George Soros is a multi-billionaire who is dedicated to the destruction of the United States. There's really no other way to perceive it. He's waging war on the criminal justice system. He's trying to remove it so that revolution can happen in this country. He is supporting any move, any policy that is effective in destroying the nation. So he spent over $40 million. He's elected 75 prosecutors affecting 72 million people. They cover half of the urban jurisdictions in this country, and they are refusing to enforce the law, and they are letting criminals go scot-free and with early release and not even bring up charges against them, entering plea deals that allow for violent criminals and burglars and arsonists to get back on the street. And this is causing a massive wave of recidivism and huge uptick in crime. And he's delighted. And so are these prosecutors. They're in place, and there's largely no effort to remove them, except, fortunately, in Virginia, where we've seen some creative efforts by the Attorney General and by a circuit court judge, very, very courageous judge, Loudoun County Circuit Court Judge James Plowman.
Hmm. Jonathan, let's focus our attention a little more on George Soros, because a lot of people simply don't understand. In fact, when you say he wants to destroy the United States, the first thing people who aren't awake, not woke, but awake would say is that, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. He's a philanthropist. He's such a good guy. He just disagrees. Number one, he's in his 90s. He has four sons. Most lefty causes deal with Alexander, I think his name is, and others of the sons of Soros. So can you tell us some inside insight on this man? I happen to be Jewish, you may know that. And he is among the most anti-Semitic Jews ever that I've ever seen. And yet, if people criticize him, the left runs to his defense and says, see, you're anti-Semitic because you're criticizing George Soros.
Yeah.
You can't win for losing with the left.
I evaluate this man as I would any person based on what they do and what their agenda is, as opposed to what others say about him. And when you look at his actual agenda, his open society globalist agenda, he doesn't believe in borders, he doesn't believe in capitalism, he doesn't believe in free enterprise at all. He doesn't believe in our republic. He doesn't support the rule of law. He doesn't believe in criminal justice. So he's either an anarchist, or I think this is a more accurate description of him. He advocates anarchy as a means to destroy nations so that they may then be ruled by a global government. He has this.
He's not the only one doing that. Klaus Schwab and others are doing exactly, are advocating the exact same thing. Are they all getting along in their vision of the
Well, I don't think so. I mean, he these people suffer from delusions of grandeur. He certainly has the financial means to affect an enormous amount of policy and law. However, they all operate on the naive assumption that they'll always be the kingmakers, that they'll always be in the position of controlling people, and that's what they want to do. They hate freedom because freedom is not something subjected to their control by definition, and it's in this case, he is an enemy of the United States. He is actually someone who should be declared an enemy of the United States and treated as an enemy of the United States. He is engaged in a conspiratorial effort to destroy law enforcement in the United States, to open our borders illegally, and Biden is an absolute stooge in support of this. But his overall objective is to destroy the United States. That's what he's aiming to do.
Well, and Hungary did exactly what you're talking about, did they not? And he is Hungarian. I believe he was born in Hungary, yes?
Right. He's persona non grata in Hungary, and they're very wise to what he's about. I mean, just imagine if all of a sudden, among our midst, there was someone who was extremely wealthy who put all of his readily expendable resources into movements designed to destroy criminal justice and to open our borders and to bring down our republic. And that's really what he's about. That's what his Open Society foundations are about. That's what his justice and public safety pacts are doing. That's what these Soros-backed prosecutors are doing.
Oh, and by the way, he's put a lot of money. People don't know this because he has all these organizations. He's put a lot of money in something called safe injection sites. Now, I know that you lean very much libertarian. I have strong libertarian leanings myself, but I saw what his organizations were trying to do in downtown Denver to create places where drug addicts could go and shoot up without the fear of prosecution.
I certainly don't subscribe to the view that we ought to be encouraging drug abuse and addiction in this country. And that's what his focus is not on helping anyone. It's on destroying these societies. He's very effectively promoting the destruction of cities in this country. It's happening as we sit here. And yet the whole approach of government has been to just, oh, well, that's free speech. Oh, well, he can do this. This is something
talks.
That ought to be regarded as a criminal conspiracy because, I mean, he, in point of fact, is likely in violation of criminal RICO. He is engaged in activities to promote obstruction of justice across the United States through economic support of candidates who are pledged to not enforce the law. And
is that astonishing? There's two questions I have I hope I can ask, and I'm going to give you, you know, a chance to answer either one because we only have about 8 minutes, and it's important, so much to say here. He does have four sons. Is there a possibility that there are any chinks in that armor and that they might see the error? You know, as I say, Soros is what, 92 years old now, and he's got his four sons, the next generation, doing this kind of destruction. I'll save the other question if we have time.
I would hope so, but he does have several sons, and I suspect that he's at least grooming one to replace him, and I think that the evil that we see afoot is likely to continue after his death. It's really unfortunate, but I would hope that if Republicans take the House and if they take the Senate and if we have a Republican president, that the new Attorney General will turn his attention to investigating and going after Soros. There's no reason not to. He really is an enemy of the United States. He is destroying criminal justice in this country. He's yeah. financing the ruination of many people's lives by allowing recidivists to go back on the street. And as you point out, he's promoting drug abuse. He's promoting open borders. He's promoting defunding the police. He's basically trying to make us helpless as individual right. citizens and to encourage a revolution by taking away law enforcement.
That's correct. And he's not the only one. Along with all of this to make the world more dangerous, as if that wasn't enough to be concerned about, you have other billionaires. My understanding is he has even more money than Soros. Michael Bloomberg, who has financed the disintegration of the Second Amendment. So while one side makes life more dangerous and threatening for law-abiding citizens, they want to make sure you're helpless and can't defend yourself from these threats. And Bloomberg has played in all kinds of legislative races all around the country with his money. What I want to ask you, though, is that this is a global push for global socialism, authoritarianism, communism. You answered the question, but like, how does Soros, if you know, square with the totalitarians in communist China or Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum and that horrible Israeli atheistic Jew, because I am one, Yuval Noah Harari? These people seem to agree, but couldn't they all fight it out and, you know, all lose? I want to know if you know
about that. It'd be nice to lock them all in a room with no video entertainment to allow them to be holed up there for a period of 72 hours and to see which one comes out alive, because these are evil people. They're vicious. They don't care about taking human life, and they do believe that in the end they are going to be the controlling factors in the world. That's what they want to do. They want to run the world, and they don't want you to have freedom because that interferes with their plans.
Well, and we've seen even they've groomed. This is an ideology with different flavors, but always right now an authoritarian ideology, which they've groomed people like Zuckerberg and others. This is astonishing to me too, Jonathan. They want to live forever and they want to depopulate the world. So they want to live forever and they want to kill off others. Let's see, what does that sound like again? What does that sound like again? It sounds like a bad sci-fi B movie, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're talking about a dystopian nightmare that has come true. If you go to Portland, just look around. I mean, that's the ideal environment for Soros. Not for him to live, but for him to look over it with glee, because he's been able to enable people to cannibalize themselves and, you know, the society that is around them to destroy it utterly. If he can
and
do that across
Democrat
the United States,
city,
he'll be delighted.
And every Democrat-run city, which most of them are, is resembling Seattle more and more every day.
Right. Yeah, when they proclaim themselves to be open-minded, but they're so open-minded their brains have fallen out. And that's the big problem with these people that are just in a Pavlovian response, saluting Soros and implementing that agenda. Of course, these people too hate this country, which is we have a majority that obviously love this country and will want to defend it. That majority has to become vocal and active if we're going to save this nation.
You know what, Jonathan Emord, you went exactly where I was hoping you go, because this is the last couple minutes of our talk this time around. I do really enjoy talking to you, and I think our audience appreciates you. We like to end on some kind of positive note. Give us a couple of, give us a pep talk, if only for a minute and a half, what you want to leave us with. Jonathan.
Well, I'm really delighted with the example set by a Loudoun County Circuit Judge James Plowman, who has removed Buddha Bibaraj, the Loudoun County Commonwealth's attorney, who is a Soros-backed socialist, from two prosecutorial cases because of her lack of impartiality. And this is the kind of activity by judges that can make a world of difference in individuals' lives who are either wrongly prosecuted because of a bias or are people who are the subject of plea agreements that are letting murderers and others go scot-free. And judges can stop that, and that's a good example. And the Attorney General of Virginia, Jason Mayorkas, has also shown a great example for the nation, which is legislation that he introduced that will be reintroduced. It was defeated by a Democrat Senate in Virginia, but it'll be reintroduced when the Republicans take control. And what it would do is allow the Attorney General to replace the socialist Commonwealth's attorneys with prosecutors from the Attorney General's office in cases where there's evidence of bias and abuse.
And so thank you for joining us so much. And how can people find you and follow you? And they could be one of those people that contacts me and says, have you had Jonathan Emord on yet?
Emord.com and also townhall.com, pjmedia.com, americangreatness.com, and USA Today magazine. So those are sources of my articles, and my book is The Authoritarians, Their Assault on Individual Liberty, the Constitution, and Free Enterprise. That's the fifth book I've written, but it's the latest.
Excellent. And where can they find that other than, can they find it anywhere other than Amazon for those people who don't want to go to Amazon?
Target.com. There are many sources for the book across the country. Walmart.com, too.
Very good. Jonathan W. Emord, thank you so much for the work that you do. You're a leader. You're a thought leader for people who love liberty. Thank you for joining us.
Take care.
And my pleasure. Well, that about does it for us here on this week. I always like to post our shows on WSMN at my website, KarenKataline.com. There will be a bonus show. I'm talking spouting off. So join us tomorrow, 1 o'clock, KarenKataline.com. And I'll see you next week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. on WSMN. Have a wonderful rest of your week.